Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu. There's a lot changing in our world. Today, with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, as we study the one world ruler. Do present events and Bible prophecy all point to a coming global government? Let's find out now with Dr. Paul Chappell.
And always remember that Satan is very, very religious, and religion itself does not save. The Bible says even the devils believe and do tremble. You see, it's not enough to believe in a God or in the gods. We must be born again by turning to Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. But during the tribulation, there will be much in the way of religion. And the Antichrist will ascribe a worship to himself. Then he will exalt himself in the temple. We mentioned that a moment ago from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He will set himself up as a God to be worshipped. The height of blasphemy will take place. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Notice it. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this brings us to just a quick note that I want you to take note of. And that is that because the Antichrist will establish himself as an object of worship in the temple, then the building of the temple must take place prior to the Antichrist's ascension to power. And that's significant because there's a great desire on the part of many, even today, to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. I believe there's an Associated Press article or Israel National News article in your notes. And it's from the Temple Institute, and it says, the Temple Institute, which has already built many of the vessels for the Holy Temple, such as the Ark and the Menorah, has now embarked on a project to build the altar. Construction begins Thursday in Mitzpah, Jericho, east of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, we cannot currently build the altar in its proper place on the Temple Mount, Temple Institute director said, because we are building an altar of minimum possible size so that we will be able to transport it to the temple when it is rebuilt. When we were in Israel back in June, we went to the Temple Institute and we met there with very zealous Jewish people who, in their orthodox ways, pray in ways that that would embarrass the average Christian concerning just zealousness for prayer. We saw the menorah that you see on the slide here this morning. And I was told by the person giving the tour, the cost of this menorah was $3 million. It's solid gold. And they're making all the furniture right now for the temple in belief that that temple will be established soon and that they will be able once again to worship in their temple. And so this is of significance because the Bible declares that the Antichrist will establish himself as an object of worship in that temple. Aaron Klein says the Temple Mount is Judaism's holiest site. To deny its reality negates many of Judaism's core beliefs, to say nothing of Zionism. Now, interestingly, again, the Muslims today deny the location of the temple and the Temple Mount as being Jewish. Ahmed Kerry, the chief Palestinian negotiator, recently said concerning this matter, that the Jewish state asserts the temple, the Jewish temples, and he said they never existed and that Israel has been working to invent a Jewish historical connection to Jerusalem. Curie said Israeli occupation authorities are trying to find a so-called Jewish historical connection between Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Now, amazingly, many Muslims in the Middle East literally deny that there ever was any temple in Jerusalem. That's their side of the propaganda. And so you have on one side people saying that the Temple Mount is 100% Muslim. There never was a Jewish temple there. On the other side, you have the Jewish people right now creating furniture for the temple, believing that there was Solomon's temple, there was the temple of the first century, and wanting to see it now rebuilt. And I believe that the Antichrist will have a significant play in bringing about a treaty that will bring a seeming peace between these people groups so far apart at this very time. At the current moment, Jews are barred from visiting the Temple Mount during most hours of the day. When they are allowed to ascend, they're under heavy watch, and they are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. And these are some of the constraints the Jews live under in Jerusalem today. Perhaps in upcoming peace talks, and they're coming soon to a channel near you, they'll solve the temple question. And friends, when that question gets solved and when that agreement is made, you just be listening for that trumpet to sound. And I'm just simply saying that the Antichrist will set himself up as an object of worship in the temple, meaning that that temple will be built at that time, obviously. Notice then not only the defiance of the beast who will set himself up as an object of worship, but finally this morning the dominance of this beast. Notice how dominant he is in the time of the tribulation. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from before the foundation of the world. Notice first he has power to fight the saints. This would be Jews and Gentiles that do not take the mark of the beast. The greatest anti-Christian, anti-Semitic crusade ever known will take place during this period of time under the rule of Antichrist. Death chambers, prison camps perhaps, will abound. All of those who refuse the mark of the beast will be taken and will be persecuted. He has power to fight with the saints. Secondly, he has power to rule the nations. Verse 7. The Bible says he made war with the saints, he overcame them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Once again, in the realm of politics, he will rule over the world. Now, today, the world is preparing, I believe, for this type of government. Many men believe that the way to solve the world's wars is to have a worldwide government and to establish a worldwide authority. And may I say again, there are those who are going to refer to this type of preaching as a right-winged fanaticism. We heard such talk even recently from our own Director of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano. And it was amazing in her Homeland Security brief sent out to the FBI, the Sheriff's Department, all around the nation. And I've got the full copy in my office, but let me just read to you a little bit of the fanaticism. She was warning the law enforcement to be careful about, quote, returning veterans. Many of them are attractive to the right-wing extremists, she said. She said, be careful about these religious right-wing, quote, extremists who believe in a new world order, and they believe about a world government that would usurp sovereignty of the United States and its constitution. I mean, in one quick stroke of the pen, Janet Napolitano offended not only veterans by saying that they would be very interested in some type of extremism, but also Christians. By the way, not just Baptists and not just independent Baptists. Do you know that the vast majority of millions and millions of Christians on this planet this morning and in this nation this morning believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, believe that there will be an Antichrist during the tribulation, but for our faith in the Bible, already there's the little sounds from here and there saying that it's just some kind of fanaticism. And you get used to that if you intend to live for Jesus, if you intend to stand by the Word of God more and more as society becomes more and more global in its orientation, then those who believe in Jesus Christ will be the fanatics on the far right ring fringe of things. But my friend, the fact remains that as the Word of God states, there is coming such an order, such a government to this world. And let me just quickly say, it isn't just the right wing that talks about this matter of a global governance. I was amazed recently to read concerning one of President Obama's czars. And frankly, I haven't really figured out the whole czar situation myself yet. But one of them, by the name of John Holdren, is the science czar. The science czar. He wrote a book entitled Eco-Science. In the book, Eco-Science, Population, Resources, and Environment. These were his titles. And let me just tell you some of the ideas from his book. Quote, he floated the idea of forced abortions, compulsory sterilization, listen, and the creation of a planetary regime that would oversee human population. This is one of the czars in our current administration's science czar. Now, whether he believes this same material today, I do not know. All I know is he wrote a book in which he propagated planetary regime. Friend, the fact is today there are people who do believe in the Humanist Manifesto. They do believe in global governance, and that idea will rise and rise until the time of the coming of our Lord and the establishment of the Antichrist platform on this earth. And so there will be power to rule the nations. You talk about planetary regime, that'll be the code word for the Antichrist. Yes, there are people who are Christians who believe that time is coming. And yes, there are people on the left who do believe in global governance, whether they are ready to admit that readily now or not. And so in the realm of politics, this power will be known. Secondly, in the realm of finance, this power will be known. Global economic interdependence, I believe, will ultimately lead to global political systems that do dominate sovereign national sovereignty. And many today in Ireland, many people who lost the vote that was taken there yesterday feel that they have lost their national sovereignty by giving such sweeping powers to the European Union. I believe that with all my heart. And the fact of the matter is that much of it is driven by economics. You see, 1 year ago, the same vote took place in Ireland and was defeated because their economy was robust. Now, 14 months later, as this economy has changed, they voted for the European Union to have greater power because they want to get out of the economic problems that they are in. And the one world government will seize on this desire for economic prosperity. March 24th, the New York Times published this article. China urges new money reserve to replace the dollar, which began the following. In another indication that China is growing increasingly concerned about holding huge dollar reserves, the head of its central bank has called for the creation of a new international currency. Tim Geithner, U.S. Secretary Tim Geithner, also was open to the idea. The talk of a global currency in the world is no longer, again, just right-wing fanaticism. Friend, it's as mainstream as you want to get from Russia to China to the United States. There are people calling for a one-world currency today. Now, why is that significant? Turn, if you would, to chapter 13 and verse 16. It says concerning the Antichrist, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. And if you take notes or you circle in your Bible, circle the word in. It does not say on, it says in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now here we see concerning the rule of the Antichrist, his political rule, his economic rule. And not only will there be an international monetary system, but there will be an international way of knowing whether or not you're banking in the Antichrist bank. And it is referred to as the mark of the beast. And how many of you understand it is entirely possible technologically today for everyone to have such a mark? And we hear all of the time the arguments for it. Already these little chips are being placed in the skin. Many of your animals have them today, for example. Many Alzheimer's patients have this chip implanted in them already today. And the Bible says that no man can buy or sell without this mark or this name, according to verse number 17. Now, the economic pressure will cause many people to turn to the beast. Accepting this mark will be the same as rejecting Christ as the Savior. They will be literally accepting the Antichrist as, if you will, their Savior. Now, the mark may not necessarily be the number 666. The Bible says that's the number of the beast. Six is the number of man. But it will be the mark of the beast, whatever that particular mark or identifier may be. But already in the world, people talk about the matters of identity theft. They talk about how financial matters could be solved and how people who have their medical records could be solved on this little matter of identity that could be scanned so very easily. And that will certainly come to play in the Antichrist's kingdom. Finally, notice he'll have not only power to fight the saints and power to rule the nations, but notice he will have power to be worshipped. Once again, we see this matter of worship. I believe, according to chapter 13 and verse 4, they will worship him. Notice verse number 12 says, "And he caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast." And they literally will worship. Perhaps there'll be a tear in the eye as he goes by. Perhaps they'll sing songs to him. Perhaps they'll make poems about him. I do not know exactly how they'll worship him, but they will give of themselves to this one that they call their Antichrist. The Antichrist certainly is mentioned throughout Scripture, certainly is coming, and yet that does not concern someone who's looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say this morning, friend, that while all of that is ominous, when we see the changing in technology, the advancement of the humanist manifesto, when we hear all of the news like we've heard this morning, all it ought to remind us is simply that Jesus Christ is coming again and how we thank the Lord for that promise. You see, I got to let you know that as powerful as the Antichrist seems, let me get you real clear on this morning, and as much power as he has for 7 years, I got to tell you this, he will be destroyed in a moment by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says in Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, friend, just mark it down. You and I who are saved by the blood are to be thankful this morning that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that yes, there'll be a period of time when this one world leader has his way, and when God allows all of these trials to bring the Jewish people back to a place of repentance. But I got to tell you, when he's done doing whatever it is that God wants to accomplish on this earth, the Antichrist and his little puppet are going to be thrown, his prophet, into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And how we ought to thank God this morning that we are on the winning side today. By the way, it's interesting to me that during this tribulation period, with all the power, with all the laser technology, and with all the equipment that this Antichrist can muster, even during that time, there's going to be 144,000 evangelists running around preaching that Jesus saves. Amen. Maybe they'll be at an Antichrist rally with a John 3:16 sign. Maybe they'll be on the internet passing the gospel. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. But Revelation 7:4 says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. After this I beheld," verse 9, "lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." You see, even though the nations and peoples are rejecting Christ, even at that terrible time in world history, there will still be people accepting Jesus Christ during the tribulation. I personally believe those who during this point of time called the church age, those who have heard the gospel and have said no, and have said, "I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Savior." Those who have rejected Christ, I fear that they will not have the opportunity to be saved during the tribulation. But there will be many, many people saved during the tribulation, and once again showing the wonderful grace of Jesus. But I want to say, as I've said before this morning, you don't have to be left behind, and you don't have to wait for another day. You don't have to wait for your deathbed in order to be saved. You could accept Jesus Christ right now, today. You don't have to wait for all of the news and more proof of the coming of this beast and his kingdom. The Bible prophesied what Jesus would do in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." Listen, do you understand the Antichrist has a 7-year kingdom, but Jesus Christ has an eternal kingdom? "And the government eternally will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor," watch this, "the Mighty God." No, Christianity is not on a par with Buddhism and Mohammedism and all the other religions. Our Savior Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Mighty God, my friend. And that's why true believers will not take the mark. And that's why they will not bow to the beast and his conglomeration of religions. Because they know whom they have believed, and they are persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed. They have committed unto him against that day. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And my friend, Jesus Christ did come, and he was born there in Bethlehem's manger, and he lived a perfectly sinless life, and he died on an old rugged cross for your sin and mine. And yes, he is in heaven now at the right hand of God the Father. And yes, we're in a time of waiting while the word of God is preached, and ultimately the church will be captured away, and there will be a 7-year time of tribulation on this earth. But at the end of that time, this same Jesus who came to Bethlehem's manger is coming on a white horse with his vesture dipped in blood, and he'll pronounce judgment on the Antichrist and on all of those who have rejected him. And I want to tell you, friend, you'll want to be on his side that day. You'll want to make sure that you're serving the right Savior at that time. And today's the day to make that choice. And if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, get it right. Christ or the Antichrist, it's up to you. Father, thank you for this time to learn about things to come. Lord, we see the turning of the wheels. We see the coming of globalism and the platform of the Antichrist. But more than that, we long for the coming of Christ. And we look for our Savior. And I pray today that you'd help us to prepare for that wonderful day. As Christians, that we would live holily and righteously. For those that are without Christ, that they would receive Christ as Savior.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. On today's edition of Daily in the Word, he's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press, that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us a call, toll free, 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.